Climbing the old water tower was number 5 on our list. We chose to do it during a downpour. Not just because the cops were onto us after our first 4 stunts, they'd almost caught us on number 3. The fear of getting caught was part of the excitement. The police in our little town, assuming they'd heard rumors of our 7 dares, had to be waiting for us to tackle the old tower on the hill at some point. We'd also chosen a dark and stormy night because the tower was dry inside. Our town's water tower is shaped like a giant toilet paper roll wearing a funnel cap. We figured since it had a roof, the tower should be dry inside. That meant the ladder running up the inside wall shouldn't be too rotten. We couldn't know for sure because no one had been inside the tower for years. Not since the town had declared it an impure source of water and boarded it up. All the place was good for was being broken into. And who better to grab the honors than the Daredevil Club? Besides, what else was there to do during a rainstorm? 100 yards from the tower, Fraser, Vlad, Caleb, and I dropped to our stomachs and slithered through the mud under the barbed wire fence. Did the townsfolk of Peaver really think a mere barbed wire fence would stop the mighty members of the Daredevil Club? Not even our competitors, the Wild Men, would pause for a barbed wire fence. "Shoot!" I muttered as the back of my rain jacket caught on a barb. "I've got it," Caleb said, reaching down and freeing me. Then he grabbed my hands, pulled me through the last few feet, and handed me my cane. For someone half a head shorter than me, Caleb is pretty strong. Too bad he's not as gutsy as he is strong. He only got into the club because I recommended him, and he knows it. "Don't need your help," I protested as I sat up. I used my finger to take a layer of mud off my cane. I wiped a finger full of slime on the fence post. Then I shoved my cane deep into the mud and leaned on it to rise. Caleb knew not to reach out to help me. "Hold on, guys," he was calling softly to the others. "Wait for Kip!" They were halfway to the tower. They were visible only by the pricks of light from their flashlights. "We'll catch them," I said, lifting my left foot into place with my hands and aiming it toward the tower. I didn't expect the guys to wait for me. I had to prove I could keep up. It was part of tonight's test, the test to see if I could stay in the Daredevil Club after my accident. "Stop hovering," I commanded Caleb. He was annoying me. Maybe I was just grumpy from the shot of pain that came with trying to put myself back into motion. I had to move faster, or I was a sitting duck for the police. The guys knew that. It was amazing they'd even let me come along on number 5. But I'd insisted, and I'm pretty strong-willed. Plus, the whole club had been my idea. Fraser and Vlad had just enough guilt about the accident that they wouldn't keep me from trying at least one more stunt. I also knew that if anyone chased us, Fraser and Vlad would disappear. Only Caleb would stick around to keep an eye out for his gimpy friend. That was an unspoken part of the deal, a rotten deal, that stemmed from rotten luck on stunt number 4. But I started this club. I helped build the list of 7 dares, and I was going to finish it with the team, even if Fraser had taken over as the leader. I'd already coped with months of pain and torturous physio exercises. I also knew my friends weren't okay about the accident. Sure, they came to my house at first. My overly cheerful mom would lead them into my bedroom, where I lay with my leg elevated. They'd glance nervously at the pain pills cluttering my bedside table. Then they'd sit on the edge of chairs that my mom dragged in, their eyes darting out the window. They'd try hard to make small talk. Pretty soon we'd run out of stuff to say. Then they'd rise and punch me gently and say, quietly so my mom wouldn't hear, "Can't wait till it's all mended, dude, so we can finish the dares." Every day I feared they'd say, "Dude, we can't wait anymore. We're gonna finish those dares without you, okay?" Trying to keep that from happening was everything that drove me after the accident. By the time Caleb and I had reached the water tower's door, Fraser and Vlad had tugged its wet boards off with their crowbars. The inside of the tower was dark and smelled like rotten eggs and mold. I scrunched up my nose. "Good place to shoot a horror movie," Fraser muttered. "Get a load of the pigeon droppings," Vlad said, kicking piles of white muck, then coughing. I didn't bother telling them that it was poisonous. 4 flashlight beams arced around the place. Fraser's beam raced along walls, weeping with humidity. "Black as tar," Vlad said. He reached out to touch the black and withdrew his hand quickly. Weird. It's loose like coffee grounds. Cockroach droppings, I informed them, prompting Vlad to wipe his hands vigorously against a pant leg. One by one, we raised our beams to the underside of the roof. It was dark, but even in the dim light, we could see that the darkness was moving. It undulated, like the wave at a hockey game. The cockroaches protested our entry by releasing their hold on the ceiling and flying down at us. I'm out of here, Caleb said, heading for the doorway. Not so fast, I said, my fingers closing tightly on his collar. Pull your hood up, Caleb, and get on that ladder. I'll go last. I hope that last sentence didn't sound too bitter. I also hoped that all the weights I'd been pumping would help me haul my non-working leg up. I gripped the ladder beneath my three buddies and hung my cane on one of the lower rungs. My breathing was heavy. My hands were sweaty. But with one pull after another, I kept climbing. Keep your eyes and mouth shut, Fraser called down. The cockroaches are epic up here. Caleb threw me an alarmed glance, but he knew I blocked his retreat. Wimp, I thought. And he has four operating limbs? I set my jaw and kept going. The others were waiting when I reached the top. Fraser and Vlad tried to mask their impatience. Caleb was too distracted by the battery of bugs and protesting pigeons to address me. I got no slap on the back or words of encouragement. You'd hardly know I used to be a leader of this group. They either had no idea what a feat the climb had been for me, or they were only tolerating my presence. I started down with no rest. I'd made it. Did that mean they'd let me do the next two? If I could do this, I could probably do the drainpipe crawl, number 6, and the abandoned grain elevator just outside town, our number 7. There was no going back to the guy I had been 3 months earlier. But surely, I'd hoped, it was enough that they'd held off doing number 5 until I'd mended enough to come along. Hanging from one rotten rung after another, dangling my useless leg beside my working foot, I descended as fast as I dared. Pigeons' wings fanned my face, rain pounded the thin walls of the tower, and cockroaches dive-bombed my ears. Three pairs of feet above me adopted a stop-and-go descent to accommodate me. Silently, I told myself, they're impressed, and I'm still in the club.